Welcome, and thank you for joining me as we continue our series on Proverbs. Let me pray. God our Father, creator of all things, true source of light and wisdom, origin of all that is, thank you for calling me to faith, for planting your instruction in my heart, and for delivering me from my sin. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your guidance. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and minds to hear you. Amen. Let me start with a somewhat embarrassing, but certainly a humbling experience I had as a younger man some 30 years ago. I was a member of the Rural Fire Service in a New South Wales town, and a request came through for our brigade to send out a unit in support of a neighbouring brigade. I was available, so I volunteered to go. I was the more senior crew member, so ended up in charge on the truck. We arrived at the fire ground and could see the running grass fire and another unit working in the distance. Off we went, driving along the fire line, successfully extinguishing the flames. It was textbook, a job well done. That is, until the local captain drove up and angrily informed us that we had just extinguished his controlled hazard reduction burn. What hurt was that I knew him quite well. I was a scout leader of the scout troop that his son belonged to. Country towns are small places. I listened humbly to the captain, who was in control of the hazard reduction burn, and accepted the correction he provided. I was sincere in wanting to help, but I was sincerely wrong in what I did. In this case, the consequence was some personal embarrassment and a few hours delay in establishing a hazard reduction burn. However, the consequences of being sincere, but sincerely wrong, can often be much more serious. Today's message has two simple take-home points. One, God is in control, and we need to listen to what he says. And two, we need to humbly accept correction when we haven't listened. We need to acknowledge that God is the boss. He created the universe and he created us. Those who accept Jesus into their lives and call him Lord can approach God and be embraced in his love. God loves us. There is no doubt about this. God is the best boss we could ever have. He is a just God who shows great mercy. In fact, he loves us so much that he wants us to live forever. As Matthew writes in chapter 10, verses 29 to 31, Jesus tells us, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." And Psalm 100, verse 5 records for us, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Solomon, the principal author of the book of Proverbs, was an extremely powerful and wealthy ruler. He knew and acknowledged that the real person who called the shots was God. God did back then and he still does right now, even though we often think and act otherwise, especially in good times. This is reflected in the proverbs that have been attributed to him. And here are a few. Proverbs 16, verse 9. "In their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And Proverbs 19, verse 21. "Many are the plan in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Proverbs 27, verse 1. "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Our proper response to an all-powerful God is to acknowledge that he knows our best interest. We should listen to what he says, do his will, obey him, worship him, and love him. Our love for God should be one of awe, obedience, and giving due worth, accepting teaching and correction. We ought to be thankful when our Heavenly Father rebukes us. It shows that he really loves us. Proverbs 3 verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. It is a two-way relationship that we're in. We desire to know and understand God so that we can respond. God is not silent. He has told us everything we need to know about him. We don't need to wait around hoping that God may decide to speak to us someday. All we need to do is open the Bible and read his words. God has given us a helper, the Holy Spirit within us, who will always point to the truth about God as revealed in the Bible. As Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Back then, the Holy Spirit helped Jesus' disciples remember what he taught them. Unlike Jesus' disciples, we have the Bible. The Holy Spirit helps us to read and understand the Bible. A wise person reading the Bible is ready to listen to what God is telling them, to trust and to rely on God. Wise people realize that they have a limited perspective compared to God's. A wise person accepts God's criticism and rebuke. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. As God's fallen people in a fallen world, we will tend to read the parts of the Bible that we like. We will want to skip over or ignore the bits that make us feel uncomfortable, or we feel are just outdated or no longer applicable. We can be tempted to ignore the context. Our culture and the expectations of our society as to how we should think and act can, and in some cases do, strongly clash with what the Bible tells us. Selective listening is not wise listening. As Jesus himself says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And that's from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 26. A wise listener is genuine with God in their request for teaching and help. He will not always find the teaching easy to hear, especially if it is not what we want to hear. Through gaining knowledge of the Bible, we can truly get to know God's character, he who is always seeking our fellowship. It is through knowing God that we can then engage with God. God wants us to respond to his love. But how? Well, as we draw closer to God when we talk with him and grow through the workings of the Holy Spirit within us, he wants us to share his worries and concerns, to ask for his care, comfort and support. God knows that we struggle with our wrong thinking and our bad habits. His love for us grows as we share our struggles and battles with him, and in turn our love for him grows as we share with him. A wise listener knows that in this fallen world there is both false teaching and true teaching about God. We need to be able to discern the difference. A solid understanding of the Bible, of God's consistent revealing of his character in depth and breadth from Genesis to Revelation, helps us to recognize false teaching when we hear it. And do not fall into the trap of seeking out those only to tell you what you want to hear, rather than what you need to hear. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, talks about this. And 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with the sound of doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This applies as much today as it did back then. A wise person will choose their friends and teachers with care. Jesus himself reinforces our need to be aware of false teachers, their deceptions and subtle half-truths. He tells us how we can recognize them as recorded for us by Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. People do not pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. We need to be careful who we regularly mix with. We need to avoid making things harder for ourselves by developing friendships with people who are not helpful in their views and opinions. It is so easy to drift into a lifestyle that is in step with society's thinking, but is out of step with God's. This does not mean that we only have Christian friends. On the contrary, it is important that we do develop friendships with those who are not yet Christians so that we can share and live our message of the love of God with them. But we should avoid those who do not respect our faith in Jesus Christ and who are persistently antagonistic towards God. Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruins. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Whoever scorns instructions will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. It is with humility that we should accept teaching and correction. It is our pride that can so easily and often get in the way. The 1980s international hit by Mac Davis comes to mind. You have to be of a certain age to remember its release, but it has had a fair playing over the years. O Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. Our natural human way of thinking can lead us to think that we are pretty much perfect as we are. It is hard to be humble, to put away our pride and to listen and accept the ongoing correction we need from God. Wise listeners in their humility know that they will always need correction right up until the time they die. But God does not give up on us, ever. It was Martin Luther who said, "When you look around and wonder whether God cares, you must always hurry to the cross, and you must see him there." Why? Because it reminds us how much God has sacrificed in his love for us. Jesus reminds us how much God loves us. God's Son, a man who is completely blameless, stepped forward and died on the cross, so that all those who believe in him do become perfect in the eyes of God. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sin. It was paid in love forever. It was paid in full forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.